Amen. How many of you are thankful for the blood? Those words are so rich that it reaches from the lowest to the lowest valley, from the highest mountain, meaning no matter what station in life, no matter where you find yourself, the blood reaches there. Aren't you glad about that? That it covers, amen, that it blood covers, that reaches you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, that it covers. Another song that he said they sang earlier, it says, it might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That blood covers. Your situation look like it might be pressing in on you, but guess what? He said, listen, I'm surrounding you. I got you. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's got me covered in the front and in the back. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that? That no matter what is surrounding you, whatever your situation is to right now, guess what? The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's defeated. God said, I got your back. I got your front and your side. No matter what, it might look like you're surrounded, but walk in the faith and in the facts that he's surrounding you, that he's taking care of you. Aren't you glad about that today? Hallelujah. Can we give our God a round of applause today? Amen. Amen. We are in the second Sunday of 2020. And I tell you, how many know that everything's going haywire? Is stuff going crazy right now? I mean, it's going crazy in our world, in our country. For some of us, I know it's going in our personal lives, it's going crazy. I just thank you. I just want to start by thanking all of you for your prayers for my mother-in-law, Sister Grace Turner. She underwent open heart surgery on Wednesday. And praise God, my wife just texted me. She's sitting up. She's eating. She's in a chair. God is good. Amen. I thank for Dr. Hutchison. It's so good to have people in the fellowship. Amen. That you can call. That's why, you know, this body's the body. You take advantage of who's in the body. I just tell you, I thank God for the prayers of the saints. And for God sustaining and upholding her. She's 83, almost 84 years old, and she could have been gone. I thank God for his protection. Y'all know, testimony, my wife and my sister-in-laws and my brother-in-laws aren't here today, but Debbie and Sean and my mother-in-law and Lynn, they've been in Jamaica for 2 weeks. They went to Jamaica for Christmas, and she came back Monday, and she'd been gone. And she wasn't at a resort. They up in the mountains. Debbie said if she got sick there in Jamaica, they may have taken an ambulance 2 days to get to her. But I'm so glad she landed Monday night and the thing hit her on Tuesday morning while she was home and able to get to a hospital. Look at that. God is good. Amen. I'm just thankful for people in the body. I'm thankful for my brother Wayne and Dimitri, who I couldn't be there. We couldn't be there. We 45 minutes away. She was in a house by herself. And that thing hit her and she called my wife. I was outside taking out Christmas decorations and I could hear Tracy yelling my name inside. And she said, wait, Mom, we calling 911. And something was in her throat that she had the pain from her neck all the way up to her throat. And what was happening is she had a hematoma stuck in the lining of her aorta. And it had worked a hole into her aorta. And if that thing burst, that will take you out of here. And I'm so glad that somebody was there, paramedics there, that got her to the hospital. And I thank God for knowing people to help you ask the right questions. Because if we didn't know the right questions, she still may not have been here today. And we're glad that we asked the right questions and got her to the right facility. And I'm going to tell you, be honest, we thought, okay, maybe she was having some muscle spasms. She's going to be doing better. And on my way to work on Tuesday, Tracy said, the doctor said she needs to run in for open heart surgery. And I thank God she got through that. They stopped her heart so they can work on it, replace part of her aorta. And now, you know, when we came and see her the other day, she had tube in her throat, ventilating machine. And yesterday, when I went there the other day, she was up talking, eating peaches and ice. And today she's even out of the bed. So we praise God for that he's a healer. And I, and I, I praise God for the prayers of the saints who've covered her in prayer. We thank God for that. And I thank God for the blood. Brother Al just said it. I thank God that she came out the other day on Thursday. She said, you know, I told the Lord if it was time for me to go, I'm ready to go. I'm thankful that the blood gives me the assurance that if it is my time, if this heart don't work again on this side, that you got a new body for me on the other side. In fact, you know what? It might even be a little bit better. It's not a little bit better. It's way better over there. So she said, the Bible says, by 70, by reason of strength, 80, God has given her almost 84, and she's touched a whole lot of lives. And she told the Lord, Lord, if it's time, I'm ready to go. I pray that you get to that day. When it's your day, you can say, God, if it's today, I'm ready to go. And I'm telling you, listen, you can be sure if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank God for that today. Amen. Anybody else thankful for the blood? You don't have to be afraid of Iran sending a missile here. You don't have to be afraid of a terrorist attack. You don't have to be afraid of nothing. Why? Because I know who holds my future. And I know, listen, that he has covered me with his blood. And whatever happens, I'm going to be all right. Amen? That should be our focus as we walk into this 2020. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you're a guest, can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? If you're a guest here, we are so thankful for you choosing to worship with us today. We do not take that lightly, and we're glad that you're here. I just want to draw your attention to this Connect card. There should be one in your seat, maybe in front of you. If you are a guest, I want to give you an opportunity at some time later during the service to fill it out. Put your information there, your email, phone number. We're not going to give you no solicitation calls. We just want to love on you, maybe get some information from you, find out how we can pray for you. So please indicate your information so we can connect with you. If you're a first-time guest, indicate it there. If you're a returning guest, if you've been here once before and this is your second time or third time, we want to know that too. Also, if you're not a guest, if you've been here before, you might be a member or friend who's been here before, but some information has changed, you can indicate that on that connection card. What's going to happen a little later in the service, we'll give you an opportunity. If you look on the back, it says, what's next? Your opportunity is God may speak to you throughout the day for you to indicate a decision that you made, whether to follow Christ for the first time or to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, or if you need prayer, you want to be in a small group, you want to be baptized, or just anything. You need somebody to talk to. There's a place for you to indicate that on the back of the card. Amen? We started a series last week called 2020. When you think about 2020, you think about vision. You think about vision, and 2020 is supposed to be the greatest vision that you have. So we talked about last week the importance of focus. And we left you with the idea that what God wanted us to do for 2020 as we move in is have a 2020 focus, and the F stood for feasting on God's word. The O means to offer him prayer and praise, and C, connect in community. The U, to be unselfish in your service and giving, and the S stood for sharing the good news. And today, what we're going to be talking about, for the rest of the month, we're going to talk about having that focus. And our goal for last week was for us not to write down New Year's resolutions, but to focus on 2020, on following God closer. How many want a closer walk with him in 2020? And one of the areas that God wants me to remain focused, and sometimes we don't talk about it as much, is most of us in here are still in our working days. And I don't know about you, sometimes, many of you know, I've just transitioned from full-time to working just part-time, but I still got to go to work. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I don't always enjoy, work is not always fun. Can I get another witness here? In fact, sometimes we look at our jobs like a necessary evil. Right? Somebody say, yes, it is. When I have that mindset, when I go to work, it affects the way I approach my job sometimes. It affects the way I even relate to people sometimes. And when God has convicted me that, you know, in 2020, if I'm talking about following God closer in 2020, it's not, you know, that affects every aspect of my life. And one of the areas that that affects is my job. And I don't know about you. I, you know, recently I've been feeling and I felt in the past like, Lord, you know, I don't know if this job is my calling. I don't really feel passionate about this job. Anybody been on a job, you're just not passionate about it at all. There's just so many other things that you want to do. And the more you think about that, and you can think about doing your passion and all of that, sometimes I've gotten into the place in my life sometimes where I'm so passionate about other things that I'm paying more attention on my passion than I'm actually doing my work. And what it does, it'll cause your work on your job to suffer. And what God showed me and what he wants to show us in 2020, though you, some of you may be working in your passion. Some of you might be working in the thing that you know what God has just wired you and you got up every day to do. If I could just do this every day of the week, I would, man, you wouldn't have to pay me to do that. But some of us are not in that space right now. We go to a job and it's okay. I may enjoy it, but you know, if I could do other things, I would probably do it. But I believe as we're talking about a focus in 2020, that God wants us to kind of change the way we look as our, at our jobs. In fact, this morning, what we're going to call the title of our message is Work is Worship. Have you ever looked at your job as worship? I mean, there have been days when I've come in, I'm going to tell you right now, this past week when I came in, when I got to work, I got the call that my mother-in-law had to have open heart surgery on right on branch of Minnesota, Minnesota Avenue when I'm getting ready to come to work right before I got to Minnesota Avenue. And when I got into work, I really didn't feel like being there. I didn't. And so people come in and, you know, say, hey, Dr. McKinney, I didn't even want to really talk to you right now. You know, and you know, people got all the jokes and whatnot. Not right now. I'm just not in the mood for it right now. Well, if there's some things going on, if you've gone to work and you maybe had an argument with your wife or your husband and you get to work and your whole countenance is just different. And one day it really convicted me because somebody even says, man, are you okay? What's wrong? You don't look as happy as you normally do. It's like, whoa, it's all showing on my face. And I had to change my mindset that, God, you know what? On this job, I'm not just here for a job. I'm not just here for a paycheck. Everything that we do is worship. And what he's calling us, this, as we talk about 2020, as we look into this year, to view your job as worship. And when I do that, I believe it will affect and change the way that I approach my job. Amen? So what we're going to do, you all, if you got your little handout, we just made a little acronyms, four letters in the word work. And the word is work. Before we do that, if you could turn in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen. And we are going to go to verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, and I'm going to probably read to verse 13. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted from anyone without praying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Our main point is very simple today. If you don't know anything else, if you can't remember the acronym, just remember this. Our work should be an extension of our faith and worship. Our work should be an extension of our faith and worship. A lot of times we'll divide our lives into the sacred and the secular. The sacred and the secular. I had this conversation with a coworker of mine. I believe she was a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm not sure. But she was just like, She wanted to go and just do her mission, her ministry, her outreach. You, many of you see Jehovah's Witnesses, they do a lot of outreach. And she thought that was different than what she was doing at work. And no matter what her religious belief was, I just thought about that. You know, a lot of us as Christians, we kind of separate the two. I come to church, I worship. I do things, I go feed the homeless, and I'm working out my faith. But when I get on my job, I can be cantankerous, nasty, and a bad witness. But what we got to understand is that our work is worship. And in that, what you have, the first thing that you have, must see, the W in work stands for work is the will of God. Work is the will of God. He wants us to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Now work, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to be on a job. It could be on your own business. Okay, it could be whatever, but you ought to work. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. See, work is the will of God for us. It started in Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15. This is what God did. It said, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to work, to tend and watch over it. I've heard somebody say God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. He gave him a job. He said, so what you got to understand, that job that I hate, that I don't like, that I may not, you know, not enjoy. Number one, understand that God designed you and said work is his will for your life. Now, you may not enjoy it, and it might not be the one that you're going to end up with. He might have a business for you. He might have another job for you. But the thing about it, remember, we talked about this at the end of 2019. You got to maximize the moment. You're not on that future job. So while you're here right now, you got to understand this is the will of God for me, is to work and to give him my best right where I am. Number one, work is the will of God for your life. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 6 through 11. Look, we take a lesson from the ants. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. I can hear my mother saying that scripture in my head right now. She used to always tell us, get up, sleep. You got to get up, sleep, because what happens is they say that sleep will rob you. I heard one of my mentors, Eric Thomas, he said, sleep is for suckers. Now, you need it, but I'm here to tell you, listen, you got to have a mindset. It's God's will for me to work. And yes, I need sleep for rest, but there's sometimes I'm too late for my job because I love the bed so much. There's some of us are so in love with sleep. That I've had people that I've talked to young people who say, what, I lost my job. How? I kept oversleeping. He said, no, it's God's will for you to work. You don't listen to your flesh. Sometimes what God's will for me sometimes goes directly against what my flesh naturally wants to do. I'll be honest. My kids said, Daddy, you got to go to work today. My kids never want me to go to work. They don't. You got to work today? Yes, son. Man. What time are you coming home? Well, you know, praise God. I'm glad they want me to be home. But I got to teach you something. I tell them, listen, you learn things from your parents and grandparents. I tell them what my grandfather used to say to his kid. Son, I got to get out on the front to keep the wolf away from the door. If daddy don't go to work, none of us eat. Work is God's will for my life. And I got to teach you, son, it is not, listen, it's not God's will for you to sit around, sleep, and play video games all day. You got to get out and work. Listen, I'd love for you to start your own business. Matter of fact, why don't you create a job to give somebody else some work? But what you got to understand today is no matter what it is, work is God's will for your life. And so when I understand that's God's will for my life, it affects the way that I approach it. Amen. When I know it's God's will for my life, I don't approach it with my lips stuck out and like, oh, man. When I have a perspective, he just said it helps me when I go into it to know what to expect. He said it's God's will. Listen, we're going to suffer. Anybody who will live godly in Christ is going to suffer persecution. So in my life, when I endure certain things, I got to what? Expect it. It's God's will for me to work. Work is the will of God for my life. But not only that, the letter O in work is an opportunity for me to witness to the lost. Work is an opportunity to witness to the lost. I saw this little clip. I want to show you this clip really quick of this young lady, of her experience at work. I want them to play this for me really quick.
And they were homosexual. And as the days, the weeks, the months went by, he would constantly come to me with all of this information about everything that he does after he leaves the office on the weekends and whatnot. He would text, he would, you know, come to my desk, and it was just a lot. I began to just like resent him and just would hate to see him coming. And one time that I believe I was stuck in traffic, not a good morning coming in to the office. He came in and just right off the bat just came at me with some drama stuff. And I was like, hold on. I don't know exactly what it was, but all I know it was like my hand went up and it was like, not today. He backed off in shock. Immediately after it happened, I got sad and disappointed in myself that here I am as a Christian acting non-Christ-like. And I had to immediately ask God for forgiveness so I could go back to him and be able to open the door again and apologize and hear him out about what it was that he needed to talk to me about. God just said, okay, look at his heart. And in doing so, God softened up my heart, because after all of that took place, weeks down the road, I could see the change. I just really appreciate God just coming in and softening my heart, opening that door so I could see his heart and start understanding what was going on and why it was going on. And now our relationship is great.
So you see how important it is for you to have the right perspective at work? She said, and to those of you who didn't hear it, that there was a person on her job that was a different sexual orientation. And they would come to her and talk about what they did on the weekend and all that. And she just got tired of hearing that. And so she snapped off on them. And what it does, when you understand and you look at the fact that God has placed you in an environment with people from all different walks of life, religious faiths, sexual orientation, different belief systems, and what he's giving you is a mission field right on your job. Your job is an opportunity for you to witness to the lost. And if I don't behave the proper way, then I become a bad representation of him in that workplace. She snapped up her coworker, and then it hit her like, whoa. Now, how can I witness to him? How can I be a light to him with the way I just acted? Do you think about how does my behavior affect my witness at work? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12 says, then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. It says people, what? Non-believers will do what? Respect the way you live. Have you ever had an opportunity or have you had a situation when at work people just came up to you and asked you what was different about you? Has that ever happened to you? Just because one of the things that's most irritating to me on the job is a churchy person always talking about Jesus this, God this, God that. I don't know. Anybody ever had that? Like, you know what I mean? They're just always talking about the Lord. And I mean, I love the Lord too. But when you're beating people over the head with the Bible at work, that's just irritating. That's just irritating. But you don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. All you got to do is just be the Bible. You walk the Bible out, and because everybody else is not doing that. So if I just be the Bible, if I when they're looking at me, I pray they see you. If I personify, if I'm being an imitator of God, Ephesians chapter 5, they see me. And the Bible says, be ready to answer people that ask you a reason for the hope you have. It didn't say, go ready and go beat people over the head about the reason. Be ready to answer people who are asking, why are you like that? And when you answer, you can answer them because I've lived out an example in front of them. Your job is an opportunity for you to witness. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Watch your conversation at work. Watch the way you respond to people at work. Listen, you don't have to talk about Christ all the time. Just live out Christ. I always tell the story of a young man who came into my office, and he was of a different sexual orientation as well. And he would come in and he would just talk about what he did on the weekend and what his friend, his partner was doing on the weekend. And he knew I was the pastor. He knew that. And he would bring his partner in with him, and they would just, talk about whatever. And he brought his mom in with him one day, and his mom said, please don't, could you just be quiet? And he said, Mom, Dr. McKinney's cool. And he knew what I represented. I never gave him the idea that I'm saying I'm supporting your lifestyle. But what God showed me is I'm not the Holy Spirit to convict anybody. All I have to do is just be consistent. Be consistent and love people. Love people into the kingdom. Personify the love of Christ. Because some people, they're telling you all this because they're hurting and they're looking for answers. And you know, you and I are the only ones who have answers. Every day you go to work, say, God, I got an opportunity to go on a mission field. Some of us will never, ever leave these shores to go to Africa to be a missionary. Some of us may never, ever go to South America to be a missionary. But you go to mission field on your job every single day. I was looking at a story of a man. He was an air traffic controller, and he was sitting in the lunchroom. And as he was in the lunchroom, listening to some guys having a really crude conversation behind him. And one of the guys, and he was a believer, and one of the guys in the conversation was saying, man, when I grew up, my parents made me go to church, and I hated it. And he mentioned the name of the church. And he said it hurt him to his heart that he was a part of a church like that. And he felt this burden to go up to the man. And he went to his coworker and he said, hey, man, I didn't know you went to church. And he said, his coworker put his hand up and said, don't mention God, religion, or church ever to me in the workplace. Don't talk to me about it. And he left it alone. Short while later, this man was having some issues with his wife. The same man that said, don't talk to me about God, came back to this brother. And he met the man's wife. He and his wife came and met his co-worker's wife, and they shared with her, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. He said they lost contact, and 8 years later, that same man who said, never talk to me of Jesus Christ, they ended up working in the same place again 8 years later, and come to find out that same man said, don't talk to me about Christ, he and his wife were now missionaries getting ready to go on the mission field. He never left work to go on the mission field. But now, because he was a missionary at work, he was reaching people in other countries because somebody he witnessed to that, listen, now gave their life to Christ, and now they were going over to the mission field. Your job is an opportunity for you to reach lost people. That ought to make me excited to go to work every day. I mean, I don't care what it is. No matter what the situation on your job, you say, you know what? I have got a concert. I heard somebody tell me that, listen, on their job, they don't have a lot of good candidates of people to witness to. I mean, this is a person, a believer, a Christian person, brought up in this church, who told me that they're surrounded by non-believers. And I said, aren't we supposed to be about reaching non-believers? Won't you? Have you ever invited some of those non-believers to church? And he said, you don't understand, I don't have a good crew of people to pick from. What are you talking about? We're surrounded with non-believers, and every day I ought to be asking God, give me an opportunity. God, give me a platform. God, help me to be sensitive to what's going on in their lives so that I can be a witness. I praise God that this recently, this past week, and you don't always know when it's going to happen. You don't know, but you got to be ready. Are you ready when the opportunity comes? Are you prepared when the opportunity comes? You know, that acronym FOCUS, this past week before my kids went back to school, I changed the acronym around to FOCUS for the kids. And I said, guys, before you go back to school, you need to focus once you go back. In this year, the Christmas break is over. I want you to focus. I want you to follow God's word. I want you to obey your parents and your teachers. I want you to choose the right friends. I want you to be unselfish. And I want you to share God's love with other people. And I want you to go to school with that in mindset. And I just said that to them while they were going off to school on Monday. And then I went into work on Wednesday, I went into work and I had a 17-year-old come into my office for something. And I got a chance to share that good message with him. I didn't know his mind. We just got into a conversation, and that kid was so blessed by me. He came, almost gave me a big hug, said, thank you. Always be ready to give an answer. Work is the will of God for you. Work is an opportunity for you to share the good news with lost people. And church, isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we exist? This is not about us. The next thing is what? The next letter in work is what? Work is a route for God's provision. Work is the route for God's provision. Look back at that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. It first says, then people who are not believers will respect the way you live. And then the second half of that verse, it says, and you will not need to depend on others. God uses work as a way for you to take care of your family. Work is a route for God's provision. Acts chapter 20, verse 33 and 35. I've never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a route for God's provision, not just for you and your family, but so we can give to other people. We just been talking about giving and how God wants us to give and have a generous mindset. God, your job or your business is a route for God's provision for your family. Don't stop waiting on something just to come out of heaven. I had a lady come to see me the other day, and she was just excited. She came back from a wonderful vacation. She had a good time on vacation. She had taken my whole family. And she said, I got to hit that number again. When I hit it again, we're going to go. She was waiting on the number. Every time she hit the number, she'd take the family on a trip. Now, I tell you, I wish I had her fortune, though, because she done hit it for $20,000, $30,000. I said, what in the world? What store are you going to? I'm just playing. I ain't playing the numbers, y'all. But she was waiting. She had a job, but she said all of the stuff she wanted to do, she tried to use the lottery to go ahead and take care of that other stuff. See, that's not the means to provide for you. God said, listen, in our passage in 2 Thessalonians, if you don't work, you shouldn't what? Eat. Work is the route for God's provision. We can't wait for anybody to hand anything. Get out and work. You don't have a job right now. You need to be praying for God to provide you for one. But listen, if you don't have one, try to create one. We live in a wonderful, God has blessed us. We are the most blessed country on the face of the earth. And you, and we have an opportunity right where you are right now that you listen. If you, this right now, people are creating jobs and they're not on the internet. Do you know, Al can tell you, Al is a YouTube professional. Al is a certified YouTube professional. No, I'm not, this, that's not a joke. He is, he's certified. He has trained and teach people how to earn an income on YouTube. If you didn't know that, he's teaching, he's taught classes at Montgomery College on people on how to make money on YouTube. There are people right now, say, man, I don't have a job. Listen, figure out the internet is right there. It's the working is the route for God's provision for your family and also for us to give to his work and to give to others. God wants, is his will for you to work. Your work is an opportunity for you to witness to the lost, and work should be the route that you use to provide for your family, whatever it is. And sit today, under the sound of my voice, there may be people who are out of work right now. There may be people who are retired right now. But the principle still applies. Praise God, if you were faithful in your work when you were working, now that you're retired, you can still take care of your what? Family. God will cause us to, but when you go to work, make sure that our perspective is right. And that leads us to the last letter in work. The last letter in work is K. When you go to work, the last thing that you got to remember, that the kingdom of God must be your priority. The kingdom of God must be your priority. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you what? Everything you need. Seek his kingdom above all else. When you go to work, it's not just about how much money you can make. When you choose a job, it's not always just about which one is going to provide you the best, the most money. But what will give you the best platform, opportunity? You got to provide for your family. But when you think kingdom first, guess what? God will take care of everything else. There are sometimes that you will take less money because you think kingdom, and watch God make the difference. He said, if you seek kingdom and live righteously, what is he going to do? He's going to give you everything you need. I have a job. Praise God for the job that he's given me. But I've made a decision to step away from my job for some of the days and give up some salary so I can focus more here at the church. But I believe I did that because, listen, I told somebody else, my heart is to seek his kingdom first. And I believe that, listen, though I gave up some salary, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the earth to show himself strong for those who have a heart to him, toward him. If I seek your kingdom, I'll never come up short. Is his kingdom your priority? You know, we had this discussion. I praise God, the ministry team here. We had a retreat this weekend. I want to give a shout out to Brother Eric and Sister Constance. Man, I'm going to tell you, Brother Eric, we talk about passions. This is an aside. Brother Eric can be a retreat planner. He and Sister Constance lay out a wonderful, wonderful time retreat planning. And we were talking about the church and the vision of the church. And one of my burdens is, me and Wayne just said it today, let's go fishing. And y'all heard me say, when churches don't fish, they fight. When churches don't fish, they fight. And I had to ask the question, are we more concerned about resources than we are kingdom? And I believe that if you seek kingdom, God takes care of resources. Maybe it's because when churches don't have enough resources, they've lost focus on kingdom. You didn't have to say amen on that. When you spend more money on when you focus more on the resources, it's a sign that you ain't focusing on kingdom. And I'm gonna give case in point. You know, as a pastor and a leader in this church, I know churches have to have business meetings. Amen. Because you got to do the business of the church, isn't that right? But you know what I've always noticed about business meetings at church? More time is spent on talking about the budget than ministry. I'm going to say that again. more time is spent talking about budget than ministry. And where I spend my time usually determines where my values are. So if I'm spending more time talking about money than ministry, there's no wonder then there's sometimes a lack of the money. I've always heard one pastor say, when you focus on outreach, evangelism, and ministry, it's just some way God always takes care of the money. Amen. Do I mean you ain't got to be a good steward? You need ministry, money. You need money for ministry. But you got to get the priorities right. Kingdom must always be your priority. And when we make kingdom priority, I dare us to try. Make kingdom priority and watch God open the windows of heaven that you don't have enough room to receive it. You know why? Because he's duty bound. Because why is now you're in the sweet spot. See, when I'm in line with his will and what he said his heart is about, when I'm doing what his heart is about, then he releases resources. But when I'm not doing what his heart is about and I'm asking for resources, that's why I'm stretching this and trying to do that. Because he said, no, you still get in the sweet spot. Guess what? Now my work done my way doesn't lack my supply. You try to do my work your way, you're always going to be figuring out how you can get it from here, there, and other things. If you focus on fishing, I'll provide all you need. And God has put that on my heart. He said, listen, on my job, God said, listen, focus on kingdom. When you go, listen, who can I be a light to today? God, how can I bring glory to you today? If I don't even get a chance to say anything, how can my witness, how can the music on my computer, how can my conversation, how can the way I approach my patients, how can the way I relate to my coworkers point to you? How can I be, I'm thinking kingdom. This job is not about just feet. Because I don't know about you, I tell people sometimes, I get tired of looking at feet. I've been looking at feet for 20 years. And everybody don't wash their feet before they come see me. It's a fact of the matter. It's like, oh, Lord. Listen, I ain't saying that. Listen, that's nobody in here. But there are some days I'm like, I just can't do this another day. I just cannot do it. But God has to say, listen, it ain't about just defeat. It's about kingdom. It's about kingdom. There's a person attached to that foot who's got a soul. And you need to love on them. Show them the love of Christ. Do your best work. Give them, listen, go above and beyond the call of duty because why? You're a reflection on me. When you do that, that gives you a platform to witness. So this morning, I want us to say, listen, as you go into 2020, whether you own your own business, whether you're an Uber driver, whether you're on YouTube online, whether you work in the government, whether you're a physician, whether you are an accountant or an attorney, whatever, I don't care what it is, school teacher, look at your work as worship. Do not separate the sacred and the secular. It's all sacred. It's all worship. And when you do that, you'll go to work and you just got to give you a different perspective on your job. You'll probably stay in the bed less because you get excited. When you got something you're excited to do, you don't want to sleep. You like my kids on Christmas. They don't want to sleep. My son said, look, like you said, Daddy, what time does the sun come up? Time to open my gifts. What time does the sun come up? When I get a chance, God, I get a chance to be a witness for you. What time? Listen, I'll beat the alarm up. I get in there, and guess what? God, I'm going to tell you, God, this I'm preaching this not because I got it all together. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I got an issue with being on time for work. You know why? Because usually I don't feel like being there. Can I just be honest? I don't have a problem going on time for church usually. I mean, I'm upset. If I'm not here by 10:30, 10 o'clock, I'm upset. I'm trying to get to church. I don't want to miss nothing. When it's time to get ready to go to work, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm fiddling. I'm like, wait, get out the house. Will you get out the house? Because God showed me, listen, your mindset is right and not right. You think it's not about you. It's about me. It's about kingdom. There are people in there waiting for you to be a witness for me. My listen, not only that, I gave you the job. The job is, listen, my will for you is that you go to work. I'm excited about being in your will, God. You gave it to me. I'm excited about it. It's an opportunity to witness. God, now you've given me something to provide for my family. And Lord, I want to make your kingdom a priority. When you look at workers' worship, man, what kind of doors is he going to open for you? What kind of people will he bring into your life? That may, listen, you may never go to the mission field, but you might be a light to somebody who touches somebody and goes over and reaches more people than you could ever reach. Just because you decided to look at your work as worship. Amen? Can we all stand to our feet? Our main point. Our work should be an extension of our faith and worship. Can we try that this week? Monday's coming. Tomorrow is the first day of the work week for many of us. Can we go and say, Lord, help me as I go into this next week to look at my job as an extension of what just went on in Sunday service? We coming in here, we have a good time. I love to come in and lift up holy hands and worship. But you know what? Tomorrow, I'm just going to continue what I just left. On the job, it's just an extension of my worship. An extension of my faith. Can we have bow our heads and close our eyes together? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for providing those of us who are working and those of us who have had jobs, or you might be in between jobs right now, own businesses. We thank you for the ability to work. We thank you for the gift of work. We thank you, Lord God, that, well, your word says it's your will for us to work. And this morning, we ask that you'll help change our perspective on work. That, God, we will begin to look at it as an opportunity to share the good news with lost people. That, Lord, I ask that you'll forgive us for when we've gotten ungrateful for the route that you've given us to provide for our families. Help us to have a kingdom agenda, a kingdom mindset as we go into our jobs, as we go into our businesses. Help us to approach it, Lord, and when we think kingdom, we give you our very best. And as we go into that mission field, what we call our jobs, Lord, help our eyes and ears to be open to those who are hurting and in need. It's just like, Lord God, Jesus, Lord, looked upon the crowd with compassion, for they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Help us to look like that as we go into our jobs tomorrow, this week. And as we have that perspective and view our work as the extension of our time of worship, that you'll give us a platform to witness. Lord, even just by our performance, by giving you our best. And we pray, God, that souls will be saved as a result of it. Lives will be transformed as a result of it. People will be impacted that we never believed would be impacted as a result of our obedience. We thank you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Work is God's will for you. That was the first thing that we said today. But not only is work God's will for you, his word also says it's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. Well, God wants a personal relationship with you. We talked about making his kingdom a priority in our lives. The first thing that you must do before you can do that is have a personal relationship with him. And that all starts with you admitting that you're not perfect. God loves you, has a plan for your life. He wants you to live eternally with him forever. But all of us have fallen short of God's glory and God's standard. See, God's standard, the only way that you can live with God forever is you got to be a perfect person, and there's no such thing. There's no perfect people. So we all fall short. So the first thing is you got to admit, God, that I've fallen short of your standard, and which is perfection. But the fact is that God loved you so much that even though you fell short, he wants a relationship with you so bad that he made a way. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, our sin, our imperfection must be paid for. There is a punishment for sin. Sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, sin must be paid for and the payment is death. But your death wouldn't do it because we have tainted blood. We're not perfect. In order for your sin to be covered, in order for your sin to be paid for, it has to be a perfect sacrifice. So God sent Jesus Christ. God became man, came to this earth, and he lived and he walked just like you walk. He went through everything that you go through so that he can identify with you. And he allowed us to place him on a cross, and he shed his blood for you so that he could be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. He was buried and he rose again to make you right with God. And all he asks, if you want a relationship with him, to be a part of his family, all you must do is make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you want to do that, I'm going to say a simple prayer, very quick, simple prayer. If you'd like to invite Jesus Christ as the Savior, your Savior and Lord, into your life, to ask you to forgive you of all your sins, I want you to just say this. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And today, I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. That prayer expressed what you want happen in your life. Could you raise your hand right now? If you prayed that prayer after me and said, Pastor Wayne, that was me. Amen. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right where you are so I can see you. We can pray with you and for you. Is there one? Said, Pastor Wayne, that was me. I prayed that prayer. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord today. Amen. Thank you. Second call for those of us who say, here, Pastor Dwayne, God convicted me about my attitude about my job. And I just want you to pray that I can look and approach my job, my work, as worship, so that I can be a witness to the lost in my workplace. That's you. Said, Lord, help me to look at my job as worship. If that's you, won't you raise your hand? I see that hand. I see those hands. God, help me to approach work as worship. Help me to change my mindset about my workplace as I go in there. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? So help me to think kingdom first as I go in. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, we are all, my hands are raised with my brothers and sisters today. And Lord, it's so challenging sometimes. Lord, help us to have an eternal perspective, even about our work, even about our job, and to view the job that you've given us as a gift from you. And as we do that, Lord, help us to see the opportunity that the fields are white for harvest. To go in there, Lord, eager and anxious to share the good news, not just with our words, but just with our actions, with the excellence that we approach our job with. And Lord, we ask that as we do that, we will see fruit, that we'll see people's lives change. We'll see people commit themselves to you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for being patient with us for when we haven't gotten it right. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. You may have your seat.